Welcome back, everybody. And, of course, we always like to have you guys check us out. Where, Don?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And Facebook. Like us, please. Lots of good stuff on all over the place on there. So check it out. And I think you'd be pretty happy with what you find. Speaking of happy, deer hunters are going to be flocking to the woods and the fields and everywhere coming up on the 8th of November. It's coming right around the corner, Don. If I'm not mistaken, it's not far from today.
It's about a week from today.
Yeah, about 1 week from today. Did a little research on it. We talked about the conditions are such that they line up quite well. One of the reasons, and I was really trying to dive into this, Don, how they talk about populations of deer, and this is one of those scenarios that I've always said, yeah, the DNR, they get it. They know things and scientists. But on the other hand, I will say there's a lot they don't know. And here's what is surprising for me. When you talk about a harvest, you talk about a winter and what it could do for deer, the growing of deer, and this is by some special coordinators of the DNR that keep an eye on what a mild winter and winter and effect on their deer herd can do, right? So they do analysis of this.
Sure.
They said that this particular part, I'm not going to mention any names, the DNR were skeptical that a mild winter followed by a wet growing season that produced an abundance of food would so quickly translate to bucks sporting larger than normal racks. So the reason they say this, the winter of 23-24 had does coming through that season healthy, raised a great crop of fawns. They thought it would bode well, but a huge jump in harvest was not expected immediately. Okay? So it seemed to have a huge impact. And what they did was they're looking at the taxidermist, what they saw, a 20-inch increase in bucks that came in.
Average?
Average. 20-inch increase.
Wow.
They heard a couple taxidermists said they filled up their quota of number of deer they were taking in earlier than normal, and it seemed a pretty good year for antler growth as well. Total harvest across all seasons was also up. This is last year.
Yep.
170,600 versus 158,600. So that's a lot of deer growth when you're not looking necessarily at a growth in hunters. So the success, I think, is like an exponential at that particular point. So the reason they say that is they have an identical winter that they had the previous year. So this last year, 24-25,
yep.
Identical year at the head the last year. So what does that mean? That means it's going to be a pretty solid scenario. And 25 permit areas have an increase this year in the limit. The late spring and summer, they had wet conditions across the state. They had quality deer food across the state. In addition to the standard row crops and what's been widely reported is a better mast crop. And what they're looking at is benefits with twin fawns, if not triplets sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I saw one this year.
Is that not crazy?
Yeah, with triplets.
Important to note that two mild winters is great, but it kind of depends on the starting density of the deer population. Obviously, if you hardly have any, it's difficult to get that growth. But when you're at that point when they can really take off, that is something to deal with. So pretty impressive. I will say that Mother Nature has treated us well, given us a break, and I think ideal conditions are coming up for the opener, and I think the stars are going to align for people to have a good outing.
I mean, I think it's going to be overall a really good deer season.
It's looking to be. Temperatures should be decent. It's not going to be that, from what I can see in the extended forecast. I'll pull up Instant AccuWeather, which is just me pulling up my weather app. You know, if you look at the...
You're the weatherman on this show as well.
Well, you know, that's what I do.
Yeah.
It looks like it's going to be in the 40s and 50s overnight next Saturday. It looks to be like 32 degrees. Overnight on Friday, 41. So I think you're going to have a good weekend. It looks to be dry.
Yep.
So I think it's going to be a good... And that's, again, in the Red Wing area. There's a lot of other areas that'll have some varied weather. But nonetheless, I think...
That's actually good because... hot weather is not good.
No.
For taking game.
Well, a lot of reasons. One is you walk into the stand, you got to be soaking wet. You're going to work up a sweat.
Right.
And then hauling a deer out, Don, I don't know if you know it.
Just dressing, you know, field dressing a deer and when it's hot is not good.
Well, try and take care of the meat at the same time.
Right.
There's a lot of things that come into play that make it difficult. So get prepped, everybody. Make sure you have all your tools, and please make sure you check your stand strap. So when you strap into the stand, you know that is going to be 100%. Don't trust that it was good last year, and it's going to be good this year. Put it on. Make sure that its buckles are good, because buckles can and will on time for or in a period of time, they will fatigue and they can break.
Even worse than that, as an example, I brought in my trail cams and I make sure they're all charged up. And I had two of them that I leave out there year round so I can see activity. And it breaks like a rubber band.
Yeah.
I mean, and we're talking a canvas strap, but just from being in the sun and the weather for that period of time. So I've got all new straps going out this year.
Yeah. But when it comes to your health, and being safe, you got to do that. The other thing I would recommend is make sure, jump into something I wasn't planning on talking about. As far as what you have in your backpack, so when you're hunting, you're prepared. One is going to be have a mini saw. Having a mini saw is one of those things where all of a sudden you're seeing deer coming from the wrong direction, and there's a stick there that you can't get rid of no matter what you do. Having a mini saw, you can get that out of the way, or maybe there's some brush, you see it, it's like, oh, that wasn't there before. Have that prepped, number one.
I take a shears.
A shears, yep. There you go. You could take a pruner, like a pruner type scenario. I do the saw simply because if it's a little bigger and it's in the way or it's fallen or broken off, but either one, those kind of work. What else do you have? What else do you bring, Don?
Well, I bring everything I need for field dressing. So... I make sure I've got shoulder length
rubber gloves. Yep.
Of course, a good knife.
Well, and why are the gloves important?
Well, one, it keeps you clean and the animal.
Yeah.
Otherwise you make a mess of yourself.
Yeah.
And you don't need to. You know, I do have, I don't even know what they call it, the rack that you can pull up, you know, so if you're anywhere near a tree or something, you can pull it up in a tree. You know, as where I hunt, I'm able to take the carcass up to the farmyard and we rinse it out with cold water so we can hang it.
Nice.
So, I mean, that's to keep the meat clean.
Mm-hmm.
It's some people use an axe rather than a bone saw. I'd rather have a bone saw, but I haven't found one that I like yet.
I've got a bone saw it's in a handle, and it comes out. It's about 5-6 inches or 6 inches long, and it locks, and there's my bone saw.
Yep.
And it works well.
Well, that's what I need. I need to find one like that. I just haven't yet.
No, that works well. Ava, what do you throw in your deer pack?
So my dad is the best ever. He has little deer
kits.
That?
He's the best ever.
He is the best ever. He has little deer cleaning kits that he puts in everybody's backpacks, and it's got the gloves and the wet wipes and the butt out that he likes to use. Have you heard of the butt out?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like wonderful. You give perfect. It a little twist up there and
nice.
Pull
it,
the innards
it
out.
It reverses things.
Yep.
Nothing and wrong
then,
with that.
And then he also has a little bathroom kit in case you need to use the restroom out in the woods. He's got you covered.
You need to make sure you have quality toilet paper, not just toilet paper. Quality. toilet paper is an important thing.
Yeah, because you don't want to be using leaves.
No, and you know that cheap junk doesn't work either. So make sure you get the, you know, the good stuff. Like, don't get scented though.
Never thought we'd be talking about that.
Hey, it's a big part of hunting is figuring out the bathroom.
I've never really had to do much with it, but there's stories.
There's stories.
My truck's only 100 yards away.
Oh, Don.
What does that do?
Huh? How drives does, me wherever I want to go.
Oh, you need to drive. Well, see, I'm hunting on my parents' property. I could walk in if I wanted to, but meh.
Oh, well. It's good to know. I'm guessing.
Ava does not walk in. All right. Restroom.
So, Don, what else do you have in there?
Oh, man, it's putting me on the spot here. Well, yeah,
you can just think about what you had in your bag.
I mean, I always have my gear, but you know,
like what?
Binoculars, rangefinder.
There you go.
You know, your firearm, your extra shells.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I like to have deer scent. I have scent pads. I'll have like a scent free spray. Those kinds of things. I'll have the drag straps. I'll have that. I will have an extra shell, like a rain shell of some type, so that if it does start to rain and it's nasty, then I can just throw that on and not get and big enough to cover everything.
My stand's got a roof on it. But I suppose I could take one.
Ava, I don't think Don really hunts. He just kind of goes out and sits and my guess is he probably brings his lounger into the...
And takes a nap.
Well, he wheels it in early in the year and puts it into this thing, and then he leaves it set there. Probably got a massager with a 12-volt battery in the back so you don't have a bad back. And maybe a little warming. So
you know, that's not a bad idea.
Oh, jeez. Ava?
I love it.
Yeah.
I have to admit, there are some deer stands out there that are amazing.
So you're talking about the deer stands that lean against a tree and you crawl up them on a little ladder and sit in them.
That's what I...
At my size, I don't take that chance.
I don't like heights, so...
I don't mind heights. I just am not going to... where I hunt, there's like five of them. And it's like, take your pick. Where do you want to go? Nope, I take the roofed one. I can get in and out of it, and it's pretty solid.
Well, I'm trying to think what else is there. There's some other things that, obviously, the app for your phone, if you do have an accident, that's a crazy cool thing. If you haven't seen it, go look up under deer hunting apps and what it will do. Apple, I believe, has something like it. But if you do have a fall out of a stand or it shows a rapid drop and then a stop, your phone will automatically call for emergency services, and they'll ask, are you okay, kind of thing. And
right.
I think that's always a good thing, especially if you're in a crew. You know, you've got some older people, if they're going to be, you know, doing a stand scenario, have that, make sure that that's on their apps.
Actually, the Apple Watch does that.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't have, I don't have an Apple Watch, so. But.
Look what I got.
Look at you. Apple Watch.
Apple Watch.
There you go.
Yeah.
But I think all those things are crucial. And the other thing, too, is be wary of what transportation regs are in place with deer. There's some states that you can't cross into the state with a full deer with hide and everything else. Just make sure you're aware wherever you're going deer hunting. Just make sure you do that so you can make sure that it starts out good. Your hunt starts out good and it ends as the same as it started. So that's important. Last but not least, the story we had last week, just make sure you know what you're shooting. Don't take a chance and make sure you've got blaze hat and a blaze vest. Don't think because you're on private property that somebody's going to be just fine. People have a tendency to go hunt where they shouldn't sometimes or mistakenly not end up in the right spot. So make sure you check that out. It's all an important piece of being safe on the opener of deer season. I heard there's, in Wisconsin, isn't it like 650,000 people go into the woods?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, doing business with people in Wisconsin for the Wisconsin opener, which is, I think, a week later than Minnesota. I'll check on that for you, but...
I think Michigan is the same.
Every business shuts down that I can possibly, I mean, it's crazy.
Not every business.
Well, a lot of businesses are, oh.
A lot of them about 5 o'clock open up.
Yeah, that. But when you're trying to do normal other business, I mean, it's like, oh, it's deer opener. Everybody knows, oh, we're gone for the week. So
yeah, it's a state holiday.
Yeah, state holiday. It's like Minnesota fishing opener, same kind of thing. Well, there you go. There's your update on deer. And I think it's going to be good, as well as what to put in your pack. I get a pretty big backpack.
I have a big backpack, too.
Yeah, it works. And what I've done is I've actually hooked the pull strap to the backpack. So when I'm dragging a deer out,
mm-hmm.
I've got the shoulder straps, instead of just a waist strap. So I've got the shoulder straps, the hip strap, everything is pulling at the same time.
Oh, I thought you were making like a pulley system to get your backpack.
I always have a rope up there anyway, so it's not a big deal. So, but anyway, real quick, I wanted to jump into a story. The $200 federal tax on firearm suppressors goes away on January 1st. They just passed a legislation, and it brought a major shift to firearm suppressors. So starting January 1st, 2026, the federal tax stamp is going to be eliminated. Owners will still have to complete the ATF Form 4 and pass a background check. That doesn't go away, but the tax payment that was required since the 30s is now out the door. The law change not only applies to suppressors, but also the purchase of short-barreled rifles, short-barreled shotguns, and even other weaponry. Look at the regulations, and they call it any other weapon. It's a massive win for National Arms Firearms Act community, as long as the long overdue step towards normalizing legally owned tools. So, you like that, Don?
Well, I do. I mean, because it's very expensive.
It is. It can be cost prohibitive.
Well, so. I mean, if you're buying more than one suppressor, I mean, $200 a suppressor, it adds up.
Yeah, it does. Speaking of adding up, the minutes added up, and we are a wrap. Hard to believe, Don, but we are at the end of the show. Thank you guys for joining us, for Ava, Don, and myself. We are the Valley Outdoors. Have a great, safe weekend, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.